Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 974 is Yajnanga, Yajna and Anga. Anga, we're familiar with the term. It's quite a common term in Shastra, Vaishnava Shastra. We have the five principal Angas of bhakti, the 64 Angas, which means parts. Anga means a part, accessory, limb. So Yajnanga means that he is the one for whom the yajna performed by the devotees is an accessory to attain him. It's done to attain him, ultimately, it's meant for attaining him. Ultimately, he is conquered by a spirit of pure love. But performance of yajna is a means, maybe especially for those who are a long way from pure love of Krishna, to start to link with him, so it becomes, the yajna becomes a means to link with him, which is ultimately, as we go on and we progress and we hear from devotees about why we should perform not only yajnas, but pujas. Pious people perform pujas and yajnas. They do some activity as an offering they may do to various demigods, to Vishnu himself, but they have something in mind. What can I get from it? So it becomes a means to attain him, because we're starting to approach him. But the real thing is the attitude of pure love. But the yajna, such an important, central to Vedic society, that is meant to link those, us in the material world, who have enough piety to decide that, or to be inclined to, or be born in that culture where yajnas are performed, where religious activities are performed. So that it's a beginning, performing karmas. But he is there, the yajnangi, the ultimate aim. We may not even know that. We'll come up to that soon in the name Yajnaguhyam. We don't even know that he's the ultimate aim. But even without our knowing, it's Krishna's divine trick, so that we become involved in performing yajnas, and he is the means by which we go to him. And then sarva karma kilam parata jnane parisamapyate. That will be discussed in the upcoming names also. That all the karmas, of which yajna is the culmination of all karmas in Vedic society, but the culmination of all the karmas is to attain knowledge, and knowledge ultimately means to attain knowledge of Krishna. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavang mang prapadyate. So knowledge means ultimately to attain Krishna. So in this way, the yajnas are the means to attain him. Another way to look at this is that the limbs of his divine body are all worthy of worship. Yajna means worship. So the angas, the parts of his body, are all worshipable. And this is particularly relevant considering Yajna Varaha. Varaha is form of the Lord who is intimately linked with yajna, and the different parts of his body, they are linked with different parts of the sacrifice. Shankaracharya gives this meaning of this name. And he quotes from Harivansha, where in different parts of Varahadeva's body are associated with different aspects of yajna, starting from the feet. We start at the feet. His feet are the Vedas. Knowledge is his face. So the Vedas are required for yajna, knowledge are required for yajna, and then we come to fire is required for yajna. Fire, Harivansha says, is Varaha Dev's yajna varahas, tongue, because he eats through the fire. Grains, ghee are offered in the fire. Darbha grass, which is essential for yajna, is his hair. Remember, yajna varaha has hair all over his transcendental body. The day and night are his eyes, the times in which the yajna is performed. Generally, yajna is performed at day or at the juncture of day and night, both the morning and the evening, maybe performed in the daytime also. So the sacrificial ladle, the shruk, is his mouth. The chanting of the Samaveda during the yajna is his speech. Virtue and truth are his body, and it goes on. Let's come to Bhagavatam, where the divine form of Varaha is equated with different forms of yajna. The rishis say, this is from the third canto, chapter 13. I'm giving Srila Prabhupada's translations. The rishis praying to Varaha, who has appeared, they pray to him that, O Lord, your form is worshipable by performances of sacrifice. But souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri and others, are in the touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is the Kusha grass, Darbha grass, Kusha grass. In your eyes is ghee. See, it's a little different from the Harivansha description. And in your four legs are the four kinds of fruitive activities. O Lord, your tongue is a plate of sacrifice. Your nostrils are another plate of sacrifice. In your belly is the eating plate of sacrifice. He eats what's offered in the sacrifice. And your ear holes are another plate of sacrifice. In your mouth is the Brahma plate of sacrifice. Your throat is the plate of sacrifice known as Soma. And whatever you chew is known as Agnihotra. Moreover, O Lord, your repeated appearances are the desire for all kinds of initiation. Your neck is the place for three desires, and your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. Your tongue is the activities prior to initiation. Your head is the fire without sacrifice, as well as the fire of worship, and your living forces are the aggregate of all desires. O Lord, your semen is the sacrifice called Soma Yajna. Your growth is the ritualistic performances of the morning. Your skin and touch sensations are the seven elements of the Agnishtoma sacrifice. Your bodily joints are symbols of various other sacrifices performed over 12 days. Therefore, you are the object of all sacrifices called Soma and Asoma, and you are bound by Yajnas only. A lot of that is not very understandable without commentary. Srila Prabhupada hasn't unpacked it in his commentary. This could be unpacked and made the subject of a vast study, but we'll go on. Another meaning of Yajnanga is Vishnu, who makes it possible for us to attain the different means needed for a sacrifice. Yajnanga, all the different parts. What are the requirements for a sacrifice? Well, first of all, someone has to think, let's do a sacrifice. And then someone has to be the sponsor, someone with a desire to fulfill, the Ajaman. And then he has to call Brahmanas, the Yajniks, to get the sacrifice done. The very desire is another part of the sacrifice. These are all the yagyangas, the place where it is performed. The Lord Himself is worshipped through the sacrifice. The offerings into the fire, they can all be indicated by the term yagya. Yagya includes all of this, and yagya is Vishnu, yagya vai Vishnu, and all these are the yagyangas. So collectively, all the yagyangas, all the parts of the sacrifice, become the sacrifice. Then it can be he who receives the offerings of a sacrifice, he who is attained through the sacrifice. We've seen these explanations already in the last few names, and the next few names, remember there are 12 names connected with sacrifice, all here together. So there's a lot of overlapping. So the term yagya can be taken to mean that all the parts in the sacrifice, another way of looking at all the different parts of the sacrifice, being Vishnu himself, yagyanga, is that he, Vishnu, is the antaryami, the paramatma, in all the aspects that are needed in a sacrifice. The Brahma priest, the Hota priest, the Advaryu priest, the ghee, everything. He's within everything. So all the parts of the yagya, yagyanga, that's him. Baladeva Vidyabhushana says that he becomes known, anga. He is that by which he becomes known, and that becomes anga, by sacrifice, by such worship. Name 975 is Yagya Vahana. Yagya, we should know very well. Vahana is used as vehicle, means of moving from one place to another. That word is used for the palanquin upon which the deity is carried outside the temple in parades, when in festivals the Lord comes outside. And we see in Sri Rangam there are different vahanas for the Lord. There's the swan vahana, the Garuda vahana, there's so many different ones. So vahana, the idea is to bring along, to carry, to flow. These are different ways that vahana can be understood. That by which something is carried along, that by which something flows. So Parashara Bhatta interprets yagya vahana to mean he who brings the yagya to completion. That it starts and it goes on, it flows on and on and on until it's complete. So he ensures the successful completion of a yagya by the person or the persons who perform it, by giving them the physical ability, the mental ability, the faith, and all means to perform it. Even if we perform yagyas thinking, I am the doer, then we miss the whole point. Even if we perform bhakti and thinking, I'm doing this service, we should always think that I can be an instrument only. So far in going through these names connected with yagya, we've heard how he is the one who bestows benefits to those who are able to perform the yagya in proper order. That means he's yagyapati. He performs yagya for those who are unable to properly perform it. That means yajva. Now we have he is the one to be attained by the yajñas performed, yajñanga, and this understanding comes in several other names. Yajñanga, also he gives the ability to do it, the interest to do it, the knowledge to do it, the faith to do it, the authority to do it, because not everyone, it's not just some chandal can come out of his filthy place and do a yajna, not the Vedic yajnas. Shankaracharya says that yajñanga means he ensures the successful fruition of yajnas that are taken with a motive in mind. So again, it's very similar. People perform yajnas, kangshanta karmanang siddhim yajanta ihadevataha. People in this world, they worship the devatas, the demigods, with fruitive results in mind. That's what they want. And Krishna very kindly ensures that the yajnas go properly, because then so many things can go wrong. Even a slight wrong intonation in the performance or in the recitation can give a very different result to that which is desired, as we see in the case of Tvashta performing a yajna and his the son born out of the fire of the yajna was one of whom Indra is the enemy rather than who is the enemy of Indra. So that's described in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. So it's Vishnu who makes sure that things go right. We shouldn't think I am the doer. Another meaning is Garuda, who is worthy of worship, yajna. So Garuda can be called yajna because he himself is worthy of worship, because he is a great devotee, a great worshipper of Vishnu. So yajna vahana means who has Garuda as his vahana, as his vehicle. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning that he, Vishnu, gives faith in the process of yajna, and then he instigates, he inspires people to adopt vahana, such a means to perform a sacrifice. So it's really Krishna's mercy that he inspires people to do yajnas. Even they may be a long way from attaining Krishna, but he gets them on the right path. It's really his mercy, and his greatest mercy, that he inspires us to perform Sankirtan Yajna. He himself is inspired to perform Yajna. He comes especially in the Treta Yuga to perform Yajnas, to inspire others to do so. He gives the Shastras, which give promises of various results by performing Yajnas. And another way that he sets in motion the performers of sacrifices is by increasing the number of performers of yajna. He inspires more and more people to do it. He sets in motion the performance of sacrifices. Name 976, Yajna Brit. Brit gives the idea of carrying, maintaining. So we had the name 976 is Yajna Brit. Brit gives the idea of carrying, maintaining. So this name is described by the commentators as very similar to other names in this section, including names to come, Yajna Krit, He means he brings about the completion of the sacrifice. But specifically, this name is even when there are imperfections in the performance. Specifically, Yajna Kritika means he brings to completion the sacrifice, properly performed or not properly performed. But particularly this name is explained by Baladev Vidyabhushan and others, that he maintains the sacrifice. He makes it complete in all respects, even if it is deficient. Parasha Bhatta, of course, chronologically becoming before Baladev Vidyabhushan, says that even if there are deficiencies in the performance of a sacrifice, which is quite possible, because to get everything exactly correct is extremely difficult. Even if ritually everything is completely correct, there may be some distraction in the mind of the performers or the participants, but at the end there is the final offering. The yajna means there are so many ahutis being made, so many offerings into the fire. And at the end, there is the purna ahuti. Purna means complete. So it brings the last offering into the fire is called the purna ahuti. And it also means, purna also means to bring to completeness, to bring to perfection. So the idea is that particularly in the purna ahuti, one should think of Vishnu, specifically with the idea that whatever deficiencies are there, we're praying to him, to Vishnu, to rectify all deficiencies that may have been there and bring the completion of the yajna successfully. So, there may be mistakes, known or unknown, intended or unintended, deficiencies, but the purna ahuti is done specifically with Vishnu in mind, asking him to cover up for faults in the procedures, the faults in any materials used in the offering. There may be deficiencies in the mantra pronunciation, the tantra, the procedures followed, the vidhi, the rules may not have been followed completely, but we pray to him at the end, please forgive and accept it anyway, despite our imperfections. Parasha Bhatta, in this regard, states, Pramadat kuravatam karma pratyavat yad adhareshu yat smarana deva tad vishnu sampurnam syad iti shrutihi. Sri Parashara Bhatta is citing that Shruti says that if there is any mistake in the performance of sacrifice due to pramada, negligence or oversight, the sacrifice will become imperfect. But if the performer of sacrifice thinks of Vishnu for the removal of these deficiencies, he will remove them and the sacrifice becomes complete and perfect. Generally, in a sacrifice, there are four chief priests. They're called Ritvijas or Ritviks, and they're supposed to see that every aspect of the yajna is performed correctly. So there's no fault. There's the Hota, Udgata, Advaryu, Brahman priest, and at very big ceremonies, there can be 16 priests. They're all just there to chant, to see things are done properly. But even then there can be deficiencies. But Shukracharya said to Vamanadeva, we'll find in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam. When Vamana asked Shukra, "So you're not happy with your disciple Bali Maharaj? Why, there were discrepancies in his performance of the sacrifice. You were unhappy with him. You didn't bless him because he didn't follow your instructions. And then if he doesn't follow the instructions, how can the yajna be perfect?" But Shukra said to Vamana that there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, paraphernalia, so many different kinds of discrepancies. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. The best yajna for every age is chanting the holy names of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in this age and given us the yajna of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So let us be happy, remembering that even if we don't do everything properly, if we're really sincere to serve Krishna, He helps us, He covers the mistakes, and He's very pleased when anyone tries to chant His holy name, especially if they chant with an inoffensive attitude. Today we covered three names. It could be covered in much more detail. As I say, there's lots of overlapping in the meanings of these names, these 12 names concerned with yajna. But it's just looking at the names in different ways. The different acharyas have found different meanings. Every name is unlimited, and all the names, they are complete in the name of Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyo evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.